How's it going, everybody? It is once again me, Chewy, one of the hosts of the podcast titled Exploring the Myths Behind the Legends. And I am once again joined by the awesome Belle. How's it going, Belle?
Good, and you?
It's going all right. We were just talking behind the scenes, and I'm glad you're okay. So, all things considered.
Yes, I almost broke my ankle, y'all, but I'm okay.
Yeah, you had a little mishap, but you're fine. So that's thankful that you're still around.
I just have to hobble around.
I really appreciate you because you must be in a lot of pain right now. So thank you for dealing with me tonight.
Of course.
As if your grievances were not already enough for today, you have to deal with me before you go to bed. So thank you for that. All right. So before we start actually talking about the movie, we are going to remind our listeners, Belle, of our social media accounts. So we have presence on pretty much every social media, from Facebook to Instagram to Twitter to TikTok, and even YouTube now. We have a YouTube channel where we're uploading our infamous recipe videos. We are doing the short version on TikTok, and then we're doing the full version on YouTube from now on. So you can find all that stuff in our Linktree account, which is linktree.com/mythsbehindlgds. Once again, that is linktree.com/mythsbehindlgds. So there you go, guys. Look us up, like, share, subscribe, whatever you gotta do, do it. If you're interested in learning how to do our recipes, follow us on YouTube, please. Leave a comment if you tried it. So hopefully you do. Right now, Bill, there's more videos of you than me, so I'm a little bit upset about that. Oh, what happened is I lost the footage of like two of my recipes, so now I have to make it up with
Sure, you lost
it.
it.
I did. So I'll recreate them for sometime this week, and I'll upload a couple videos of myself, so it's a little bit more balanced. So
Okay.
you are, for now, you are the face of our YouTube, and I think that's adequate because you look nice in camera.
Thank you.
All right. So, what movie, Bill, are we talking about today for the people who may have not read the title?
Halloween Kills.
That infamous Bell sigh of disappointment
Yes.
that I've come to know. So, very quick, maybe in a sentence or two, what were your impressions on this movie? And I mean, mind you got to kind of hold back for this because we got about a whole hour to talk about this movie, so.
My impressions were it sucked.
It sucked.
But not that it was a good movie. It's just the townspeople. It's like they were all drinking like dumb water or something. Like they didn't have smart water in their store. All they had was dumb water. I don't like it.
All right.
Other than that, the movie's actually pretty good. Like I liked Michael in this movie. He's a little shit.
All right. So we're definitely gonna go into a lot more detail with that, but for now, we're taking a little break. So stick around, and we'll come back and talk to Belle about why it is she thinks this movie sucks. Stick around, guys. Okay, Belle, so it is now time for you to let us know why it is you think, or I mean, you said you did like the movie, but there are some negative things about it. So why don't you go ahead and explain that for us, please?
Well, I think his killings are awesome. I think the way he just amped it up, like he turned it up a notch. He's like, you know what, guys, this Halloween, I'm going out with a bang. So like he killed anyone and everyone and smashed heads. I did not like him killing the fire department though. It's kind of like they were saving your ass and then you start killing them. That was messed up.
I mean, I'm not laughing because I think it's funny. I'm laughing because it's Michael Myers. He's not gonna
I
forgive
know,
anybody.
but like, oh, but he's nice to kids. I don't understand that
Not
logic.
really. He killed a kid in the
Yeah, but he was a little shit. He was gonna shoot Michael.
So he only injures people of a certain age in self-defense. Okay.
Yes, you see? I mean, if the kid never got the gun, maybe he would have made, maybe Michael and him would have been best friends and they would have gone trick-or-treating and this never would have happened.
It'll become Michael's apprentice, maybe.
Oh my God, no.
Right, so let's see. The movie starts with the douchebag boyfriend finding the dead or the injured cop that we thought had died in the last one. And then there's a flashback scene that I think is one of the better scenes in the movie, really. I think it was done really well. I think they really captured the atmosphere of the first movie. I mean, even though this is their explanation for what happened after the first movie, because remember, the entire series after part one never happened, according to this universe of movies. So it's a little confusing if you're not following entirely. I mean, I it took me a while to kind of wrap my head around this, but essentially, this flashback is their explanation as to why or how Michael Myers was captured and why he's in the mental asylum. Because again, nothing after part one in the original movie happened. So, what do you think about that whole sequence?
With the flashback, I mean, I really do feel like a story was told with these two movies. I feel like I understood the backstory and why everything's going to shit. And I don't think it all has to do with his sister. Like, I know everyone kind of thinks like it's all about her, he's obsessed with her, but I don't think it is.
Well, I think in this movies, actually they're not related at all. It's just he's just some random dude.
Wait, what? Did I miss this?
They offer a
I
one
understand.
line. I mean, it's okay if you may have not caught this because they actually explain this in a throwaway line in the first movie, where when they first introduce the granddaughter, excuse me, and the boyfriend, and they're walking back from school and the guy asks her, "So is it true that that's her brother?" And the granddaughter is like, "Nah, it's just something that somebody made up for fun, whatever." So it's like a 3 second exchange, so it's really easy to miss it.
I don't know how I feel about that.
In the original series of movies, they are brother and sister, at least as far as I can keep track of. But in these movies, they're not related. Michael is just some random dude that happened to start killing a lot of people.
Are you sure that wasn't just her trying to act like nonchalant and be like, oh, that bitch is crazy, don't worry about her, kind of thing?
Well, we still have a whole movie after this, and Halloween ends, so maybe they'll go back to that. I mean, so we don't know what's gonna happen with that movie. So, but as of right now, they're not related. So who knows? I mean,
That breaks my heart.
I
Because
mean, why though?
it just, then why the fixation on her if not blood, you know? I mean, I get it, she was the one that got away, but it, I prefer a sibling rivalry.
They may, I mean, like you said, it's possible they may actually go more into depth about this in the last movie, so maybe they will come back to the fact that they're related, or maybe they'll, find a way to explain why Michael is so powerful, or I don't know. I'm really looking forward to the last one, so hopefully they don't mess it up.
Yeah, I don't think they will. To be quite honest, I really like these movies. And I mean, I'm not a very picky person. I just think there's like the townspeople could have been better. But I like how it's filmed. And I just, Michael's just, you know, Michael. And I feel like he's a stronger presence in these films.
Yeah, he's definitely more.
In your face.
Yeah, in your face, he's more vicious with his kills. He's a lot more brutal, for sure.
Well, it's all that pent-up aggression. It's been 40 years. He's itching for a kill. They didn't let him kill in the psycho asylum. I mean, you
As far as we know, what if he injured or killed some other inmates in there? I don't know.
True.
I mean.
True.
So then that controversial scene happened, and it's interesting you mentioned that a little while ago, but that whole scene of him getting rid of the fire department guys, all those kills are pretty vicious, and it's interesting how they thought they could take this guy. I mean, mind you, it's like 10 of them, no? So I would pretty much, maybe if I was in that position, think the same. Oh, it's 10 of us, we can take this guy.
I don't think it was. I think it was just more than like, hey, bitch, we're here doing our job. Like, we just saved you. What are you doing? And I would have used the hose because the hose has like a bunch of power to like spray him back or something and had all the other firemen run away or some shit. And then they run after, but I don't know. No one ever had an actual thought or common sense in this film, but whatever.
Yeah, for sure. I don't think anybody in this film had common sense, but there was some controversy about the scene. I'm not entirely sure what happened. I read about it a few months ago, and I didn't really check up on that again for this, but I remember that there was a group of people that was trying to boycott this movie because of that one scene.
Why? Because it's it's against the fire department. I don't understand.
I don't recall exactly the details, but I think it is something to do with that, that it made firefighters seem like they're nothing or like they're not skilled enough. I'm like,
What?
but I mean, it's like, dude, like it's a fictional story. Like firefighters
Movie.
aren't gonna I mean, the fire department isn't gonna get killed or called, sorry, when there's a killer
Yeah.
in the loose. I mean, they're gonna call the cops or the feds, you know, the FBI, whatever. They're not gonna call the fire department. I mean, and I don't know. So
Yeah.
yeah, something along those lines. So there was some sort of weird controversy that was stirring up, but I don't think it really went anywhere.
I honestly, I feel like people nowadays are just trying to find a reason to bitch and moan and throw a hissy fit. And I don't feel like this is showing that the fire people are less than. If anything, it just shows that they're awesome guys who go and do their job no matter what the situation, because they already knew that the psycho was on the loose. Everyone was aware, and yet they still go and they put their life on the line to go and put out this fire. I mean, I would have let the damn house burn, but they can't help it. They're firemen. So they're gonna put it out. And I think what he did was fucked up. Like it hurt my heart. I was like, no, they were helping you, dumbass. But I mean, it's Michael. What can you expect?
That's actually kind of a throwback to part 5, I believe. Yes, because at the end of part 4 in the original series, something similar to this happens. There's some mob of people that gather up and hunt them down. So this whole movie is kind of like a throwback, and I'll go a little bit more in depth about that in a minute here. But some dude saves him at the end of no, the beginning of part 5, and so Michael's in a coma for like I don't know how many months, and then he wakes up, and the first thing he does is kill the guy that saved him. So.
Why did I would have been like the freaking Queen of Hearts, off with their head. Like, come on.
Yeah, so it's kind of a throwback. And yeah, like I said, I'll talk about that a little bit more ahead in our episode. But now we move to the scene that you gave us a preview of last week, Bill, which is the drone
Oh my
couple.
God, Mike, the drone scene. Okay, like, and he was being a little shit. He was being a jerk.
Michael?
He was like playing peek. Yes, he was. He was playing like peekaboo with them. Like he was kind of having fun with these kills. You can tell because it's like he peeked out and then he like smashed the light bulb.
Yeah.
It, Michael. What are we dancing for?
It's a little cartoony, right, in a sense, maybe?
Yeah, there's some parts where it's like, okay, Michael, you're being extra. Like you're just showing off that you can kill. If he's like that one friend that you're like, okay, we get it, like let's move on.
So, how easy is it to break into these people's homes? Because he breaks into everyone's homes like nothing. Like, do they not lock their doors at this town, or?
Don't think they do. I think that they became, I wanna say the word docile, I don't know if that's the correct word, but I feel like they complacent, I think it is, where you know they're just like, oh, the threat's gone, nothing to worry about. Because if you paid attention to that bar scene where like Tommy's finding out that Michael's back, and that girl that they're interviewing, my neighborhood's safe, nothing like this has ever happened. I've lived here all my life. And it's like, then you haven't lived there all your life because you would have known she should have been all a long time ago.
Yeah.
You know? And to me, she looked older. She looked like she would have been there 40 years ago.
Maybe she would have been like a kid, like a baby or something.
Yeah, maybe. But I mean, I feel like that story is going to stick around. People are going to stay talking about it every Halloween. It's going to be one of those stories. You know, you sit by the fire, you tell. Like, for her to think that, oh, nothing's going wrong in my town. It's like the guy from the 1-800 contacts commercial, not my
You come up with the weirdest examples. I like that.
I love that commercial.
Your examples to make your points are like the weirdest, but they're awesome. I like them. They're funny. So let me ask you this, since you brought up that point that this girl made in the movie that her neighborhood is safe. And I think we may have talked about this in the past episode, but let me refresh our memories here. How long after something tragic happens anywhere does it become quote unquote safe again?
Depends. Did they catch the person or is that motherfucker on the loose? If he's caught, then I would feel some sort of sense of relief. I'd be like, you know what? Freddy's gone. They caught him. He's in that crazy asylum in Batman world. You know, I would have been okay. But like if he's on the loose, I would be very apprehensive of letting my guard down.
Which brings me back to the point of why are these people not locking their fucking doors down anymore?
Because it was already put out there, like, hey, shit's happening, things are hitting the fan, a bus of loonies crashed. If I hear a bus of loonies crash, I'm gonna make sure my alarm is on that night. Like, I'm not just gonna be like, oh, hunky dory, let's go have fun at the bar, you know?
Yeah, definitely. So that's a little weird. I mean, it's like you're probably driven by the county jail, and
Yeah.
they have signs there: no, don't pick up hitchhikers, don't talk to people that are just walking around, because obviously, if there's a big chance that if somebody's walking around, they may have eloped or whatever you want to call it from there. So I mean,
Escaped.
escape. It's common sense. I mean, it's if you're driving by a dangerous area or something like that, and there's signs, mind the signs. like.
Yeah, but there's people who think that no, I bet you anything he really just needs a ride home and he was wrongfully accused. Let's get him a ride home. Let's give him some socks. Like,
I don't know
I
about
don't
that. I mean,
know.
it's. I believe people deserve second chances. Well, some people, if anything,
Oh, yeah,
but.
of course, of course. But there are some that are just not worth it because they don't rehabilitate.
Yeah, in that context, I mean, I'd be like, maybe not. Maybe not this guy.
Yep.
Yeah, so you're talking about that bar scene again. So that's when the whole Evil Dies Tonight thing starts happening. So what do you feel about that?
Oh, shut it. Like, put your money where your mouth is, girl, because y'all fucked it up. I love how Tommy's going out there with a baseball bat because the nurse, oh my God, he's in my car. And she runs. Sorry. I completely forgot that he had a friend out, you know, the patient that broke out too. I completely forgot about that guy. And I was rewatching a little while ago. My son's like, you know, it's not him in the car. I'm like, yeah, I know. And I go, I think it's one of the pranksters. He's like, no, yeah, maybe. I'm like, oh, wait, it's the other crazy guy.
That was kind of like a red herring they threw or tried to throw at us for, having it appear like it's Michael, but it's not.
Yeah.
And, well, just I'm gonna go and say this since we're already talking about this. I wasn't a big fan of this whole angle of Evil Dies Tonight. I mean, not the way that they did it in this movie, because the actor Tommy, I usually like his acting, Anthony Michael Hall. He's a an actor from the 80s. Well, he became famous in the 80s. A lot of teen comedies from that time, and I kind of have caught his work in other shows and movies that he's done, and I like his performances, but in this one, I feel like he hammed it up a little bit too much. He tried too hard for this. I don't know.
He's like that jock on steroids. He's like, come on, guys, let's go. We're gonna get this touchdown, you know? Yeah.
Yeah. And okay, I'll wait to talk about this a little. Well, actually. Since I think we're doing scary stories for this one too, right? For this episode.
I think you said you were gonna read something. I didn't prepare nothing because you said you were gonna read something.
Yeah, okay, so since we're
Okay.
yeah, no, that thank you for reminding me. Okay, so I'll talk about this right now since I have a chance already. I don't know if that was meant as a critique at people like us that are horror movies, and we're always thinking like, these people are fucking stupid. They should do this, and they should do that, and they should go all get together and beat him up, and that's exactly what they did in this movie.
Yeah. Did they
So,
though? Did they beat him up?
I mean, but my point is that is this movie trying to like to throw shade at us as horror fans that you guys are always you always think what people should do in these situations, but then they do it and they still fucking mess it up somehow.
Just behead the guy. That's what I didn't understand. Like, there was guys with machetes, fucking axes. Shit, I would have taken a serrated bread knife, just fucking throw it and chopped off his head. I'm sorry, but I'm not gonna like let some guy possibly live. They didn't bother to shoot him in the head. They didn't do nothing that would have like assured that he died. And I mean, I get what you're trying to say, but I think they're just trying to show how stupid people are because they're so full of themselves. Like the whole podcast thing, it's kind of like the same thing where, you know, people think, oh, I can do this, I can handle this. In reality, they can't handle shit. Now, I'm not saying I'm perfect and I wouldn't know exactly what to do, but I think the thought in my head would be, let me make sure this bitch is dead. Let me go stomp him like the stomp the fire department. You know?
Yeah, see, but once again, we're horror fans and we have a different approach to things like these. I'm sure a lot of people in the general public would be too shocked to even think that like we're thinking right now.
Oh my, you're right. I probably sound like crazy.
No, but I mean, I understand
Oh
what you're saying because I mean, since I'm a horror movie fan, I know you can't just let the guy just lay there and walk away into the sunset and oh, we finished it. He's like, no, you gotta like dismember him and burn his body and scatter him to the
fuck
four
yeah.
corners of the world because otherwise he's gonna come back. We know this.
Siphon the gas out of the gas out of the fucking cars and light them on fire. Like, watch their mother burn.
I mean, you gotta take all these. And that's what I would do in real life. I mean, if I ever got involved in a situation where, and this is, hopefully a warning to anyone, but if I ever find myself in a situation where there's somebody that's threatening my life, I will do this to you.
Don't fuck with me.
I mean, I'll make sure that your body is not put together in any way, shape, or form, so you can't ever come back or regenerate or anything like that. Like, nope, not gonna happen to me. Sorry.
Be careful because they might say it's premeditated, so let's
Self-defense officer, you cut his body into 10 pieces and
You said you were going to do this on the podcast.
Well, see, again, that's the thought process that you and I have and people like us, but I mean, these are quote unquote ordinary people. So let's go back and talk about the movie a little more before we get a little bit too crazy.
Okay,
Crazier than
I
we already
guess.
did for this. So then they show us the people that live in the Michael Myers house, the Johns, Big John and Little John. And the whole prank thing with the kids, and that was a little weird. I think that scene was a little, I don't know, like it didn't really do anything. Where the kids pretend that one of them is dead because he ate, quote unquote, a razor blade in a candy bar or something like that.
Yeah.
I think that was more of a jab at people that believe in the urban legends that, the candies have syringes in them or razors. Remember those stories from back in the day?
Yeah, because I wasn't there a real one though? And it
Yeah,
was a
there was.
long time ago. Yeah, there was like a real incident. And then they took it and ran because, it's what the fucking world does. But yeah, maybe that could be because it's Halloween. And it's always expected you gotta check your candy, check your apples.
So I think that was maybe like the whole point of that scene. I mean, they do throw back to the once again to the kids in Halloween Part 3 in the original movies, which once again had nothing to do with Michael Myers. It's a whole different story. But the costumes and the masks these kids are wearing, the prankers, are reminiscent of the ones in that movie in Part 3. So I thought that was like a nice little Easter egg again. But yeah, there was that whole incident one time where somebody did, in fact, I think, put some sort of blade or something in a candy bar, and actually, a kid, I think, he ended up getting severely
Cut
injured.
or something in the mouth,
Yeah,
something like that.
so something that did happen like once or twice, maybe, but of course, everybody thinks that if it happens once somewhere in a town 2,000 miles away, it's gonna happen to your town, so.
Because people get ideas, and then I hate when they say, "Oh, be careful, because your kid might get weed candy and all that bullshit." It's like, whatever, whatever.
That person would be, I mean, what kind of person would give out their stash like that for free?
Maybe someone that's really high and is not not realizing what bucket he's getting it from.
They're feeling it in quite the generous mood that night.
I just take the whole thing.
Yeah, I don't think a lot of people would actually do that, but I mean, I digress. So, I think from this we jump to the part where the cops are interviewing the Lori and her family about what happened,
Yeah, at the
and
hospital.
and that's when they find out that Michael was alive, and they're like, "What?"
Like, no. I mean, but she knew what was going to happen because she saw the fire department go and she's like, no, let it burn in the first movie. So she's not dumb. She knows.
See, so Lori is like us, but she was injured though. At that point, she really couldn't do anything.
Yeah, Lori was like, nah, bitch, I'm going to fuck shit up. And then her daughter's a little wimp. I couldn't stand her.
And do you think they gave her the name Karen on purpose?
No, because with Karen, she wasn't being a battle axe. She was just being a little whiny bitch. And a Karen to me is someone who's like has to bitch and argue. And this one wasn't. She's just like, come on, mom, stop being crazy. She could have been named like a Becky, you know?
Okay, so yeah, I was making that connection. I was like, I wonder if the people that made this movie gave her the name Karen on purpose because she's kind of like just pestering her mom at all times and just being like annoying. So I don't know, that's something that I had thought of. And no offense to any Karens out there, I know a few of them and they're fine people. So hi, Karens.
Hi.
In case you happen to be listening to this, we're not talking about you specifically.
Yeah, get over
Okay, so then, as this is happening, you start seeing Tommy walking around town and trying to recruit people for his little mob. And he's being like, oh, yeah, we have to make sure that we catch him and this and that, whatever. So, as he was doing this, I'm thinking, like, man, you're trying too hard. I'm sorry, Anthony Michael Hall.
Yeah, he was.
I feel like he wanted to be passionate about this movie, but at the same time, it looks to me like he tried really hard and not tried hard enough, if that makes sense. It's kind of a weird performance that in my opinion.
I just think he was just too full of himself. It's like he tried to white knight it and he failed.
See, but once again, people think like that in real life. I would think.
So maybe that was his, that was a role, like that was what they were aiming for somebody who thinks that they can save the day, come in and just be like, I fixed it. In reality, it's like, no, bitch,
Just made it
you did
a
it.
lot worse.
Yes.
As we'll see what happens in the end of this movie. It made it a lot worse. So I don't know, like I mean I'm like, Tommy. Because you know that the original Tommy in well not the original Tommy. Well actually there's two things about this. The original actor that played Tommy, I don't know why they didn't get him. Like, because they got the actress that played the girl in the first movie. She's the woman that is walking around with or driving around with Tommy and all these. Lindsay is, I believe, the
There was
name.
actually a few characters that did get brought back.
Yeah, actually, quite a few.
Yeah.
So the girl is the original girl from the first movie. The nurse, Mary, I believe that's her name. She's the original actress. The sheriff, the old sheriff in the hospital, that's the original sheriff in part one. I don't know why they couldn't get Tommy from the first movie. I don't know if he couldn't do it or if he wasn't interested. I don't know what the deal was. But there was a lot of talk about, because in the original series, in part six, it was actually played by Paul Rudd.
Ant guy?
Ant-Man, yeah.
Why?
Because back then, I believe Halloween 6 was his first ever movie, or at least the major movie he ever made. This is back in like 95, mind you.
Wow. I don't know.
And they actually asked Paul Rudd if he wanted to come back and do this, but he couldn't because he was tied up with the Marvel movies.
I would have been like, hold on, Marvel. Let me. It's not even like he's not even that big in those movies, anyways.
Yeah, I mean, but and at the same time, I think he didn't really want to do it anymore. Like, because
Yeah.
I like Part Six, and there's like, I believe three or four different versions of that because that movie was it's a mess. It was heavily edited by the studio, by I don't know, there's a whole bunch of stuff that happened. But I don't want to get into that in case we actually watch that movie sometime, Bill, and you want to do an episode on that. But he seems to not be very happy with that movie, just long story short. I mean, it was his first ever performance, so like, I mean, I can't blame the guy. I mean, I thought he did pretty good, but I digress. So then, the next scene would be the one I believe when they're driving in the park, right? And they see the in the playground area.
Yeah. And there's like little kids there swinging, I think, or.
Yeah, and actually, some it's the same prankster kids from the scenes with the Johns. So two of them are looking for the other one that's missing, or like, nah, he just went off to take a leak, whatever, but he's been gone for a while. And this is when they first encounter Michael Myers again. And the kills in this scene are pretty interesting. So he gets rid of the nurse, the older nurse Mary, and he also gets rid of the couple, the doctor and the nurse, that for some reason decided to join this hunting party. Let me ask you this: will you actually join that party? That if somebody told you, "Hey, there's a psycho on the loose. Let's go get him."
If I have no history with that person, no. Because I got kids to think about. Now, if this motherfucker was once a threat to me or did something to me or one of my kids, fuck yeah. I would be the first one in line with a fucking chainsaw in my hand. I would Texas Chainsaw Massacre the shit out of him. Ain't there to play, okay?
See, and you were judging me for saying that I would cut the guy up in pieces, and you're saying the same thing.
No, I wasn't judging you. I was just saying, watch it, because they're going to say it's premeditated if it ever does happen.
Right, so I'm glad that we see things eye to eye on this. But yeah, so he kills the nurse and he kills the husband or the boyfriend. I think they're married actually, so it's probably the husband. And then the girl's walking around, and I thought this was a little funny. And I don't know, I shouldn't laugh about deaths or anything like that, but the nurse girl is trying to shoot him from the distance, and then she gets close to the car, and then Michael just kicks the door, and she ends up shooting the gun in her own head.
I'm telling you, he wanted to be funny this movie.
So that's something like from the Wile E. Coyote, the Roadrunner movies, like Bugs Bunny or something, because it was the first time that I saw this movie like a few months ago. I laughed when that scene happened. And I wonder if anybody that was watching in the theaters laughed because it looked funny.
I think so. I think someone that has like a sense of humor like we do, they would have got a little chuckle out of it. And I would have been like, dumb bitch.
Mean, not funny. I mean, but the whole movement,
We're
like,
not making fun of her, but the way it all
it's
happened.
hard to explain it. Like, how do you make, how do you try to explain to someone why a death scene is funny? I mean, it's like, oh my God. But
Well, one thing is because it's not real. So that's one of the reasons why it's not a big deal,
yeah,
but
of course. But some people that I've talked to about this movie are like, the hell, man, is there something wrong with you?
maybe there's something wrong with them. They're so serious.
Yeah,
You should
why
just
so
ask them like the
serious?
Joker why it's so serious.
I read your mind. All right, so then that scene happens, and then Lindsay happens to she comes back and tries to hit him in the face, I think, with some sort of bar or something, like the bricks or something like
Something.
that. And he's like, "Ha, that's a gentle breeze. It's not gonna do anything to me." And he
Yeah.
is about to kill her, and she tries to take off his mask, and he's like, "Oh no, my mask!" And he like just throws her against the ground. So, do you think the mask is his weak point?
Yeah, like I mentioned about the first movie, I think that's what charged him up. Like that's what got him all like, woo-hoo-hoo, you know, got all riled up at the state hospital when they were waving it in his face. Because that's when you felt that energy in that place, and everyone started going crazy like birds in a cage. So, ooh, that's a good example.
Yeah.
Yeah, I
So
amaze myself sometimes.
so let me ask you this, and it's gonna be kind of a serious question, but since you're more of a true crime fan than I am, is there anything similar to this as far as do killers have a I don't know what to call it, like I don't wanna call it a charm, but something that they feel like
A signature?
yeah.
Yeah, they all do. But the majority of them, it's not about what they wear. It's more about how they kill and their little, like a sign signature on a portrait, what they leave at the scene.
I was wondering about that, like if any famous crimes were committed by people that always, I mean, you hear about Gacy and his clown costumes, for example. That's about the only example I could think of, but I wonder if there's any more that did something like that kind of had like some sort of.
So, I'm actually listening to a podcast about a killer. I forget his name, and I don't want to look at it. So, but his thing was he would mutilate and shove socks inside the anus of a man and shove like a paper or something in the mouth. That way, when he was transporting the corpse, nothing would spill out, which apparently he learned that in the military. So he was ex-military, and that's how he would move his body. So they would find the bodies with stuff jammed up their anus and then in their mouth to keep from shit coming out or mouth, you know, stuff that comes out of your mouth. You know how like when you die, you hear people just kind of release things. So that was kind of his thing. That's kind of how you knew, like, hey, this is the same killer. So yeah, I'm learning about that guy. He's a trip. Like he
Wow.
does some shit that I'm kind of like, how does that work?
So, then we come back to Tommy and getting everybody in the hospital all riled up and everything. And so then they hear about, or they find out that the mental patient is wandering around close to the hospital. He somehow ends up in the hospital and walks in. And all these people seem to think that this guy is Michael Myers for some reason.
Because of Tommy.
Yeah, but I mean, even though nobody looks like he knows what he looks like.
Well, actually, they did post a picture of Michael Myers at the bar in the scene. They blurred it out. They showed the one patient, and then they showed his, and it was blurred out. So, like, they knew what he fucking looked like. It's not like he, to me, this other guy looked like Penguin from the long time ago movie.
Yeah.
Yeah, I forget his name,
Yeah, Danny
but
DeVito.
there we go. I was gonna say De Niro. No, yeah, DeVito. So that's what he reminds me of. It's a little psycho looking, you know. And there's a big difference between him and Michael Myers' body type.
Yeah, maybe like a foot difference in height too.
I think more than a foot.
I think this was once again something that they were trying to do, like how people always try to find scapegoats for everything. I mean, this is just me trying to see if or think, rather, if the people that were making this movie were trying to have this have some sort of deeper meaning, or am I giving them too much credit for that?
I think you're giving it too much credit. I think it was just there because the whole bus lost, you know, it's like they kicked over a cage of chickens and they all got out. And Tommy was too riled up to actually listen to anybody because even Lori's daughter was saying, it's not him, it's not him. And they're just kind of like, whatever. And they just, you know, keep going on. It's that mob mentality. Once it starts, you can't stop.
Yeah, but see, that kind of thing does happen in real life, though.
Yeah, that's the sad part is like people are such followers, and I'm not saying I'm this big ass leader, but I'm just saying like I kind of take a step back and think, is this a good choice I'm making? But not everyone has that. Everyone just kind of like goes off of craziness. Like, oh my God, he's doing it, I gotta do it, you know?
I'm gonna go off on a little bit of a psychological tangent here. But in times of crisis, people usually try to find answers and they try to find someone to look up to for guidance. So, and this is something that happens, and as I've read about it in several different books and stuff like that. And mind you, I'm not a professional or a scholar or anything like that, but I've read about enough of these cases to know that this is something that would more than likely end up happening in real life.
I do honestly think that some people just don't. They feel like, well, that guy did it. I should be doing that too. Kind of like when they're on the expressway and one of them drives off because the line's so long, and then there goes a whole line of people. And those are the dumbasses. Like, those are the ones that are gonna cause more accidents because they can't be patient. Like they're like so, what's that word when you do something with like right
Impulsive.
away? There we go. They're so impulsive, yes. And they don't give it a thought.
So yeah, so that's why I was thinking, like, is this something that the movie makers were trying to maybe like show us that we can be like that sometimes in real life? I mean, I don't know, maybe I'm just.
Yeah. Well, I think that it was very lifelike, this movie. Like, it didn't seem made up. It seemed like that shit could have happened here in McAllen or, you know, or far or
Yeah.
wherever.
Yeah, so I mean, they end up causing the death of this guy. He ends up jumping from a window or something, right?
Yes.
That poor guy had nothing to do with this whole thing, but.
But do you think maybe he's better off? Because
I
I
don't
do
know.
honestly think he was being treated good at the asylum.
I mean, I don't know. I mean.
I mean, of course, I don't want him to die because I honestly felt so bad for him. He was fucking scared
Yeah.
because he didn't know what the hell was going on. He's just like, what the hell? And he just did what he thought he should do in that moment because he didn't know what else to do. And that breaks my heart because there are people that are also like that out there that are being crucified for something they didn't do because of the mob mentality.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that happened, and then everyone just kind of like, kind of just forgets about it. Tommy, like, the way he gets out of it is like, you know what? I fucked up, but let me fix it. literally, he says, "I fucked up, but let me fix it," or something like that, along those lines. And I was like, "Dude, like, you just caused a death of a person. Like, can't just walk
At
away from
least he took
this."
some responsibility because there's plenty of people that have been like, well, I didn't tell him to jump. You know?
Yeah, so I mean, I don't know. Again, I like the actor, but I don't like the Tommy character or the way he played the character in this movie, rather. I think he's just a little bit too hollow and one-dimensional, but that's just my opinion. I'm not a movie critic by any chance. Well, I guess I kind of am, in a way.
Yeah, I was about to say, isn't that the whole point of this?
We are being movie critics and spicing it up with our smart-ass remarks, Bill.
And our tangents, please don't forget those.
Yes, of course. Infamous tangents. So then, like, once again, the people started getting kind of riled up. So this wasn't Michael. So what we're gonna do? And he starts directing them. Oh, we're gonna find them and this and that. And then the boyfriend and his dad get reunited, and they end up driving to the Myers house. And by this point, they're joined by the granddaughter of, and by the granddaughter, I mean the granddaughter of Lori. I forgot her name. Sorry.
Yeah, I don't know. Petunia. We'll go with Petunia.
She looks more like a daisy to me, but
True.
but so they're in the Myers house, and the dad's like, "Okay, you guys stay here. I'll go catch a bad guy for you guys." No. I mean, the smart thing to do once again would be to wait for reinforcements.
Well, he's already proven that he can stomp out the reinforcements, literally. So,
That's my whole point. Like, if you know, or I mean, well, these people don't know he can take out a whole squadron of people, whatever. But at the same time, in any situation in danger, I mean, the only way that I would go into a place like that by myself is if there was nobody else and I knew nobody else was around.
like to hide?
No, like to look for Michael, because the dad
Oh, okay.
parks the car and he tells the son,
Yeah.
"Yeah, don't worry, man. I'll take care of him. I'll see you at the other side of the line, whatever." So, I mean, the smart thing would have been to call his friends or the cops. "Hey, I'm at the Myers house. He's here. We know he's here. Dash it, you know, book it over here. Come on, let's end this right now." That's what I would have done. But I mean, again, I'm not a movie character.
Yeah.
So, of course, he takes forever, and then the sun goes down. The sun gets off the car, rather, and he goes inside with the girl, and he sees the body of the father. I think he's propped up in the door to the attic or something like that.
Something like that.
And then Michael comes out of his hiding spot and stabs the guy. And I'm not gonna lie, I was kind of cheering for that in a way.
Because isn't he sad, the douche boyfriend?
Yeah, he's a douche boyfriend. So I want to say that I was happy. I wasn't happy. I was just like, yes, Michael got him.
Elated.
What happens after is that the girl walks in and she tries to fight Michael, or yeah, and she kind of puts up a decent fight for a minute there. But of course, he ends up throwing her off the stairs and she rolls down to the first floor, and then the boyfriend's still alive. So as Michael was walking down the stairs, he severely beats this guy up, and I was like, whoa, man, that's a little bit.
Yeah, it's overkill. And then like he shoves him on the spig. I think it's called the spig. Or what's it called? The little bars on the stairs, you know. The fancy bars.
Yeah, so I think he like twists his neck like 180 degrees, so his head is now facing up. That sounds a little whoa.
Well, he's angry.
Yeah, I mean,
He's like, why can't y'all just love me?
I don't think Michael wants love, but I think he just wants people to die or by his hand.
Maybe he doesn't know that. Maybe he like thinks, I don't know. Never mind. I can't even explain away his craziness.
So it looks like the granddaughter is gonna bite the dust, but the mom, Karen, comes in and saves the day with a pitchfork of all things.
Very mob. Very Shrek mob.
Where did she find that pitchfork? I don't think it's ever explained, but she had one for some reason.
Well, aren't they like around, no, they're, well, aren't they around farmland or some shit? Or like ranches?
It's supposed to be in Illinois, so I don't know exactly what kind of stuff is in Illinois. Are there fields there of like
I want to say yes.
a lot of wheat
But there's
and
fields everywhere. But at the same time, like you can use one around your own yard to pick up like leaves and shit, like a lot of them at one time.
Yeah. So then she makes him walk out of the house, she takes his mask off for a minute there, and then she makes him chase her a couple streets down, and that's when the mob, the infamous moment with the mob bell. So why don't you walk us through this sequence?
Dumbassery that transpired, you mean?
Exactly, yes.
I mean, they were getting it. Like, they were hitting him like a fucking piñata. Like, he was getting the shit beat out of him. And then he ends up on the floor, and that's when they got cocky. They're like, oh yeah, we're good. Yeah, we did it. We did it. And it's like, no, you're not done. You have to chop his head off, burn him, and separate the ashes, and then try and burn those again. Like, no. And then, like, they're all there, just like, ah. And then he just comes back to life, of course. And he's like, I got you, motherfuckers. And then he just kills everybody.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So, I'm wondering if I don't know what I'm wondering. I'm just kind of at a loss here, a loss for words. But so for a minute, it looked like they actually were gonna succeed. They actually were gonna be able to put this guy down for good.
I get why they didn't, though, because then the whole glory thing,
They gotta give her
it
her
would
moment.
only, yeah, it would only be befitting for her to do the killing, for her to chop off his head into little tiny pieces, grind it up in a meat grinder, and serve it to some pigs or some shit. I don't know. Do pigs eat meat? No, they don't. What does? Wolves.
Mind you, as they're beating him up, he still gets a couple of blows in somebody's people that were, or some of these people rather. He managed to slice a couple of them as he's going down, but then they kind of just leave him there, and you get this voice over from Laurie. And I think this movie is a throwback to the second part of, because, okay, Michael was quote unquote human for Halloween 1 in the 70s. He was a human that was somehow able to resist six gunshots to the chest. And then in part two, in the original series, he's walking around like nothing. So you already know this guy is a little bit more than human in a way. But they don't really try to explain that with any kind of supernatural lore. I mean, there are people who can't feel pain, by the way.
Yeah, there are. Yeah, it's a condition. But 50 Cent got shot 9 times and he's still here. So
I mean, at once, right? It's the same time.
want to say yes.
Man, damn. So, I mean, mind you, if anybody got shot 9 times, the likelihood that they would make it is very low. So, going back to my point about people not feeling pain, I think maybe medically, Michael, that's what kind of person he is. I mean,
But the pain wouldn't be the reason why he would die. The pain would just be like he's not going to feel it, but which is why that just that I want to say the disorder is so dangerous, because I could leave my hand on the stove and not feel that, and it's still going to fuck me up. It's still going to give me third degree burns, and so he would have still had injuries. He just wouldn't have felt them, which I get can make, you can keep going. It's like those people on Angel Dust or PCP. They get a fucking super strength out of nowhere. And maybe it's a drug related thing. Maybe, or have were they giving him pills in the psych ward, and it just had a weird effect on him?
I'm assuming they were putting him in some sort of medication, but I don't know that. But my point with all this is that
Sorry, I
no,
always take it somewhere else.
you're fine, you're fine. But what I was trying to say is that in this movie, at the very end, they're now kind of taking it into a supernatural type of thing, and that's what started happening in towards the end of the first series of movies. I'm talking about parts 1 through 6. Where around part 5 and 6, they start talking about how Michael Myers is immortal because he's cursed or possessed by some spirit, whatever the hell. So, I'm wondering if they're gonna take this in that direction at the last movie. They're gonna find out that he's possessed or something like that. I don't know what they're gonna do, but.
That's an easy way out, though. I would prefer him being a human being and he just being very resilient versus, oh, well, it was a crazy person, or yep, he was possessed, or that would totally ruin it for me. I would just like, well, that blows.
Because then the other possible explanation that I could think of at this point is that it's just his desire to commit evil deeds that keeps him going.
Yeah.
And that's just a desire to be evil. Because that's kind of implied too, because at the very end when he's in the dust, like laying down, like he's dead, whatever, you hear that voiceover from Laurie, and she's like, "I used to think that Michael Myers was a human being, but I just know that he's evil now. You can't defeat him, blah, blah, whatever." So she goes on for a couple minutes about stuff like that. That got me thinking, like, are they gonna either make it seem like in the original series he ends up being possessed by some sort of ancient spirit, or are they gonna keep this whole thing where like it's just his love of evil that keeps him going, like that's what keeps his body running, so to speak.
You know, even people that are possessed, because I do believe that shit can happen, they still die. And the demon, of course, would prefer that because they get to take, I mean, if it's all true and stuff, they get the soul and all that, you know, all that craziness. But so I don't think that's it. And as far as him just surviving on the thrill of the kill, I mean, that could be it. Maybe somebody pissed him off when he was a little kid. And this is why it's all stemming from. Like, maybe he was bullied when he was little. Because we don't know this, right? We don't know anything about him. Like, because we just have the big time jump. They don't explain his childhood. I don't think they did that in the first one either, did they?
No.
Okay, so maybe that's it. Maybe he was just so angry because people were mean to him. Because we don't know how this kid grew up. And we all know it's kind of like nature and nurture as far as becoming a psychopath. And maybe that's it. And he's just so angry and he's bitter and he wants revenge and he's fucking hates everybody because of how he was treated.
You know, it's a good thing you bring that up because that reminds me of something in the movie. The in the flashback scene in the very beginning, when they're hunting them down, the cops in what was taking place in the 70s in this movie,
Yeah.
one of the cops says, "One time my mom tried to get me to play with him and he just kind of was being weird all the time. He just snapped. He just started staring out his window and he wouldn't do anything else, whatever." And at the end of the movie, when he wakes up and kills everybody, he goes back to the window and he kills Karen. And he keeps staring out the window at what? We don't know what, but maybe they'll explain that in the last one.
I think he was beat by his mother. I mean, I feel like a traumatic upbringing would have caused someone to snap like that.
See, because in the original movie, in the 78 version, you only see a child version of Michael in the first 5, maybe 10 minutes of the movie. 5 minutes. And that's when he first picks up the knife and kills his sister. And then his parents get home from wherever they were at and they unmask him and he's kind of just left there holding the knife in his hand. But after that, nothing else was mentioned except Loomis every now and then. Dr. Loomis says that all he could see in that child was evil in his eyes. A darkness, whatever, and darkness and evil. So, but they never really explain what the nature of that darkness or that evil is. They just say that it's there.
What if he's a schizophrenic, like the movie Fudge, what's the name of it? It's like a part of the Glass series.
Split.
There we go. You know how like he has all these different personalities and then there's one that makes him superhuman. Maybe he's schizo and that's one of his personalities that tends to dominate him because he can't help it.
That's a possibility. I mean, that's something that they never mentioned, but that I would maybe think that's one of the biggest possibilities for sure.
Yeah, because he's not all there. We have to all admit he's a little out there.
And of course, I mean the last scene with I mentioned a little earlier that in parts 4 and 5 in the original series, something similar happens. A mob of actually cops and sheriffs, they get together and they shoot the fuck out of Michael Myers in part 4. It's literally like 20 people shooting at him from all different directions and he falls into this I think it's a water well or something like that. So it's like there's no way in hell he survived that.
Unless it's like the whale, a whale to the Goonies, and then he lives.
It's the Fountain of Youth. And then in part five, they see they do a recap of that scene and they show him getting shot like a million times. And then on top of that, they throw a fucking stick of dynamite down the well, and the well blows up, and he still survives.
Oh, yes,
So this whole thing about him coming back from the dead, whatever, is I guess the sequence is kind of like a throwback to that couple of scenes from those movies, because I mean he was beat up pretty badly. I would imagine that most of us would not be able to put up with a beating like that and survive.
what if he wears a bulletproof vest underneath his jumpsuit? And we don't know this. Like, what if that's part of his attire and that's why he can take those blasts to the chest? Because, or did they show holes?
I can't remember, to be honest.
Because, I mean, that could be, I mean, it's not going to save him from a dynamite, but it would help him with bullets. Unless they shoot his fucking head, but they don't ever do that, I bet.
Nah, because from what I understand, when they train you in weapons for stuff like that, they teach you to shoot at the center of matches of the body.
Well, because
So.
you have a more chance of hitting. But if you're already doing that, I mean, like if I'm there with a group of friends, I'd be like, okay, guys, I'm gonna aim for his head. Y'all keep going for his body. Like, I wouldn't just stick to one plan. I would be like, no, bitch, I'm gonna eliminate him. But I digress.
Yeah. All right. So, so where we said what happens in the end, they beat him up, he gets back, and he kills everyone. Literally, Halloween Kills. Michael kills like the entire fucking town in this movie.
Yeah.
Literally, we're not kidding. Like he kills like.
Maybe he just wants to be alone and not have to deal with anybody.
So, what's the death count in this movie? Like 100?
Oh, I don't even know. I wasn't counting. I know my youngest was counting when we first watched it, and he gave me this crazy number, and I'm like, yeah, maybe, I don't know, because I wasn't paying attention.
It's gotta be up there, like at least 50. He kills like 50 people in this movie.
That's a small town.
I mean, 50 to 100, let's just put it in that range.
Yeah. Did we count the fire people?
Yeah, he killed like 10 there, and then he killed like 5 in the park, and then he killed the Johns. That's already like 20 right
Maybe it's a video game to him.
there.
And he gets points.
It's going for a high score.
Yep.
Oh man. All right, Bill. So anything else we can add to this movie critique analysis rant thing that we're doing?
Well, the ending. What do you think is gonna, how do you think it's gonna start? Like, do you think he's gonna kill Lori?
From what I understand, the next movie starts with a time jump.
I bet you anything, Lori's gonna be dead then because she's gonna be too old.
No, she's gonna be around still. Allegedly, because mind you, Halloween 2018 and Halloween Kills, which is this movie we're talking about today, they both happen in the same night.
Yeah. It's like Jeepers Creepers, man.
Mind you, so they were released a few years apart from each other, but the story itself takes place in the same night.
Yeah.
And so Halloween Ends is supposed to start taking place in this year, in 2022. So it'll be or something maybe even further up the road. So it's gonna be at least 5 years of time jump.
Oh, okay. Yeah, because it would have been 2017 when it was filmed.
Something like that, yeah.
Yeah.
At this point, the daughter is gonna be dead for like 5 years. The granddaughter's probably off in college somewhere.
Did they live? Because didn't they kind of end where he like surprised the shit out of Karen?
Yeah, I mean, well, Karen's dead for sure.
Yeah.
Karen's dead for sure. But I would really hate it if they brought her back somehow.
Like if
Like,
she lived.
if she somehow managed to survive, I doubt that she did because it was pretty obvious that he stabbed her like I don't know how many times. But
Hey, but maybe she has that will to live too.
I don't know. I would just feel really, really ripped off if she ends up surviving somehow. But I don't know. As far as what might happen, I think I would hope that they give Lori a good send-off. And mind you, I'm not saying a happy send-off where she like lives and kills Michael, but something that is worthy of the character she is, because she's a really beloved character to a lot of horror fans.
Well, hell yeah. And I think she's gonna go down fighting if she does go down. But I would honestly, it would give me so much satisfaction that she actually prevailed and killed that motherfucker. I would be so happy. But I mean, I know that's a happy ending in a horror movie, and it's not so, but whatever.
I would hope that, I agree with you that she is gonna put up a big fight, and I don't think she's gonna make it. It's just my theory. I mean, I know that. And again,
they die together.
Yeah, that's what I was getting to. Some sort of a last stand type of thing where she ends up fighting this guy and they kind of just end each other. Hence the name Halloween Ends. So.
Yeah.
And of course, after this, it's going to get rebooted like in 5 or 10 years. But I mean.
Let the man sleep.
They won't let him sleep if he's bringing in the millions of dollars to the producers.
True.
So, all right, Belle. So I guess we are ready to give our ratings in this movie. What are our units today again? We're going to do jack-o'-lanterns again, or what are we doing?
Is that what we did?
That's what we did last time.
Okay, yeah, we can stick to it.
Okay, so how many out of 10 jack-o'-lanterns for this movie from you?
I really like the kills, but that's for the other score. So I guess we'll go with a 7.
Nice, because I also gave this movie a 7, so yay. And as far as Michael Myers himself, how many skulls does he get on the scare meter out of 10?
I give him 10 because I love the way he kills.
10? Awesome.
He shows passion.
Mm-hmm. I'm giving him an... You know what? I was going to go lower, but I'll give him a 9.
Yeah, because I really liked him in this movie. I really liked that it showed his viciousness.
Uh-huh. See, but a lot of fans of the series say this is one of the worst movies in the whole series.
Well, you can't please everyone.
Because, and I'm going to quote somebody, I forgot who said it. It might have been one of those movie reviewers, or I don't know who it was, but somebody said, and I quote, "They made him too much like Jason Voorhees."
How dare they? How dare they say that? That is insulting to Jason.
My point exactly, so. I mean, Michael Myers is cool and
everything. I don't see it. I mean, so what? He can't kill with a machete? Wait, did he even use a machete in this one? No, right?
I don't know. No, but like they say that in the context that he can't die by any sort of conventional weapon, whatever, because Jason doesn't die ever. But I don't know. I disagree with that statement. I don't think he is anything like Jason Voorhees in this movie. But
yeah, I don't see it.
They're not paying me thousands of dollars to review movies and whatever, but they should. All right, Belle. So we're taking a right back break, sorry, and we'll be right back with a scary story that I found on the internet. So stick around for that. All right, Bells and the audience out there, we are continuing to do this alternating type of episode in which we talk about facts, stuff like that, and then the other episodes we're talking about scary stories. And for this one, it's the turn of scary stories. And I'm going to say this, and I hope this is okay. I found this story at creepypasta.com. And what I'm going to say is this, if the person who wrote the story happens to catch a wind of our episode and they're not okay with it being in the episode, they can let us know and I will be more than happy to take it down for them. So that's not a problem. So I'll say their name. The name of the writer of the story is Weather for Dan and Sky. And the title of the story is The Cat Scratching at My Door. And the reason, Bill, why I picked the story is because, one, I'm a cat person, obviously.
I figured.
And also because it's got to do with Halloween, you know, and at the very end it does. And it also has to do with a person that is trying to kill someone, so it kind of fits that the Halloween mood. And by Halloween I mean the movies, not the holiday. So it's a short story, it's only a few paragraphs long, so please bear with me. And would you want to give commentary as I'm reading it, or are you going to hold off your opinions till the end, though?
I'll hold off.
All right. So I hope you got your snacks and your drinks and whatever it is. Get ready for this. And in my best reading voice, once again, the story is called The Cat Scratching at My Door, written by Weather for Dan and Sky off of creepypasta.com. It began in late September. My family cat had passed on from old age a few weeks prior. I missed her terribly and assumed the strange things that began to happen were just echoes of my grief. When she was still alive, she used to scratch at my door until I let her into my room. And she used to use the crawlspace as her own little home, sometimes hiding away for most of the day until pushing the door open in the middle of the night. I had gotten so used to it that I was no longer startled by the tapping of little paws upstairs and the sound of little doors creeping open. So used to it, in fact, that when those same things happened after her death, it took me a while to notice. When I finally did notice, the sounds gave me a strange feeling of unease but familiarity. I told myself that it was just the creaking of an old house, but part of me wanted me to believe she was still here in some capacity. One night in October, I was awoken by a scratching at my door and a faint meow. It lasted only a few seconds, but I heard it clearly. I thought it was a dream. It had to have been. After all, she was gone. But then, it kept happening. Every night at 1:46 a.m., I would hear scratching at my door and the cries of a cat who was long dead. I told no one of it because even though it frightened me, I didn't want to lose what I had left of my dear cat. The scratching stayed the same until the night of October 21st, when it became harder to ignore. Everything was normal that night. My parents had gone out for the night, and my brother was sleeping downstairs. I watched YouTube until I fell asleep with the glow of my laptop still on my face. When I heard the scratching, I wasn't even scared. It felt like any other night, until it didn't stop. The scratching only got more frantic, and the crying grew in volume with each swipe of a claw. I had never heard my cat act like this, even when she was alive. I quickly sat up on my bed and checked the time, 1:46 a.m. like always. The scratching got even worse. It sounded like she could tear through the door at any moment. I got up from my bed and slowly cracked open the door. My heart was racing. I had no idea what I would see behind that door, but I had to open it. I opened the door only a crack, and suddenly it pushed open. However, there was nothing behind the door. I felt a strange presence, like something had come into the room. I didn't know what else to do but to go back to bed and try to fall asleep. The next few nights were just the same. The scratching was almost deafening until I opened my door to let no one inside. It was creepy, but comforting. Every time I opened the door, it was like my cat came to visit me from beyond the grave. The last night I felt her presence was a night I will never forget. To this day, it was the most horrifying night of my life. It was Halloween night. I had just come home early from a party, so I could stay with my brother for the night, as my parents were out of town. We watched and made fun of Halloween movies from our childhood until midnight. I thought it would be funny to scare him with the scratching and the meowing, so I told him to sleep in my room that night. I never thought a childish prank would save me and my brother's life. I got in my bed, and he got in a sleeping bag beside me. He fell asleep almost immediately while I could barely keep still from the anticipation. Suddenly, my window flooded with light. I assumed it was my parents coming back early from their trip, but something fell off. The clock struck 1:46 a.m., and instead of scratching or meowing, the little door to the crawl space flung open. A dark figure rushed out and jumped right at me. I let out a scream, waking my brother beside me. The dark figure went through my chest and disappeared behind me. I was left hyperventilating and holding my hand to my chest. This wasn't a visit, it was a warning. I heard what sounded like someone trying to get inside the house and, without hesitation, I grabbed my brother and told him to go into the crawl space. He was groggy and disoriented but did what I said. I followed behind him and moved the chair in front of the little door before closing it. I told him to be completely silent. We heard a big crash and then footsteps downstairs. Someone had broken through the window. I heard the stranger open all the doors and push things over. I felt my face go white as I heard the stranger start to come up the stairs. I held my hand over my brother's mouth and began to pray in my head. The stranger was at the door. My heart was pounding. He flung the door open and entered the room. I could hear him flip my bed over and knock over my nightstand. I thought we were gonna die. My brother was silently texting the police, while all I could do was stare at the door, knowing it would open at any second. The stranger pushed the chair in the front of the crawlspace. The only thing left between me and the intruder was a little door. My brother and I grabbed the handle and held it shut. I then heard the hiss and growl of a cat. It felt like it was right behind us. Finally, the intruder tried to open the door. We held it shut for as long as we could until the stranger flung it open with one great pull. Before I could even get a good look at him, the dark figure leaped out from behind us and pounced on his face. It all happened so quickly. You could only see flicks of blood flying around. He fell to the ground, crying and holding out his now mangled face. The dark figure ran into the shadows, and my brother and I ran out the door and down the stairs. We screamed for help out in the cold, until the neighbors came outside to see what was wrong. The police arrived a short time after. It turns out the stranger was a drug-addicted ex-convict who was breaking into people's homes around the area looking for cash. They found him screaming in pain, covering his hollowed-out eyes. The police also found a knife beside him that he had taken from our kitchen. My brother and I were standing out in the cold when I saw the faint green glow of my cat's eyes in my bedroom window. That was the last time I ever saw my family cat. The end.
Maybe that cat needs to go kill Michael.
So, first of all, what do you think of the story? I mean, even though it's in the creepypasta, I mean, it could be true or not true. I mean, that's the whole point of creepypastas. But what do you think of the story itself?
I liked it. It's weird. Because sometimes you can, like, your pets that have passed.
Yeah.
You can sense them. So, yeah, I would like it to be real.
Mm-hmm. And, well, I picked the story for those reasons. I had a feeling you would like it too. And the other thing was that I had a cat several years ago. And the cat's no longer with us. And I mean, he passed away in 2016, so about 6 years ago. This actually around this time of the year, like in April or March. But I kind of always feel like he's still around. Even though I have other cats, none of them are. He used to be outdoor and indoor, so he would stay the day inside, and at night he liked to go outside. Kind of weird, no?
Party at night.
Yeah, he would walk into the backyard, and sometimes he would stay there outside or in the porch, or in the back porch, backyard. But usually he would walk out behind the fence and just do his cat things, I guess. But every morning he was always back, and he would come in and eat, and then go to sleep all day. But he was a really cool cat. But after he passed, I mean, I always kind of still felt him around, and even to this day, every now and then I feel like he's still in the house. I may be doing something in the kitchen and I kind of see like a little shadow in the floor. And I always think that it's him because it doesn't feel like it's a bad presence or anything like that.
Yeah.
So maybe that's my friendly ghost at night.
That could be him. Maybe leave a saucer of food out for him.
Because I'm telling you, like when I feel that presence in my room at night, I don't feel like it's a bad presence. I just feel like it's kind of looking at me. So...
Yeah.
It's my cat, so I mean that would make me really happy because, you know, for those of you who are not familiar with our podcast, I believe in supernatural stuff, and so does Belle.
Yeah.
So I mean, if you don't, that's fine. It's not, we're not trying to make anyone believers here, but it's kind of sharing our own, my own personal little experiences that I've had with the possibility that my cat, who passed away several years ago, may still be around with us, and I like that idea. I like that's comforting to me. Just, he's a very cool cat.
Hopefully it is your cat. That'd be nice.
And well, in the case of the story, for example, this person was protected by the spirit of their cat, and it seems like it knew that something was going to happen because this happened for several weeks until the night of the event when the guy broke into their home.
Do you think like he was in other people's houses and like the guy was breaking in and he was like meow, like he knew that was gonna happen?
Maybe he was already in the neighborhood and then the cat was aware, because I mean, if you believe in stuff like that, the one of the popular beliefs is that sometimes ghosts can in fact warn you of something. And
Yeah.
the first few times it'll be like a super mild warning, it may be like a whisper or something like that. And then as the danger grows close or nearer to you, then that warning would in theory get a lot stronger. You know? This is just based on cases that I've read about and stuff like that, supernatural phenomena, or alleged supernatural phenomena rather. So, anything else to say about the story, Bill?
It just made me sad.
Why is that?
Well, because like Pecan just turned 11 on the 17th, and I started worrying. I'm like, oh my God, like how much longer am I gonna have her? And I know she can be a bitch sometimes. She's mean to my other two dogs, but she's also very protective of me. And like right while I was trying to get up the stairs, I couldn't really, it was hard for me. I had to kind of hop up the stairs, and she normally like runs past me on the stairs, and this time she was sticking step by step with me behind me. I got all emotional. I was like, oh, thank you, mama, because normally she's a little jerk. She'll just run past, and this time she was taking her time with me, and so I can't imagine not having her. And then I'm like, well, you know, so I just started thinking about that. But I like the story. I like that, you know, because the animals are very protective in their own way. You might not see it. You might think, oh my God, something annoying. But in reality, like, you don't, they're just trying to save you.
And I mean, mind you, Pecan is your dog, right? Just for clarification.
Yes. Sorry. Yes. He
People
kind of
out
is my
there.
dog.
So that's awesome. I mean, like it's if you are out there in the audience and you are a pet person or a pet lover, I think people, you know, pets can make a big difference in our lives. Big, big difference. So
Yeah.
if you have one, take care of it, cherish it. They
Let him sleep inside.
can in fact feel things in a way that would surprise you, I think, because my cats know when I'm not in a good mood. I mean, everyone thinks that cats are like aloof and kind of like, I don't care about this guy, but my cats seem to
They'll still
know.
show love in their own little weird way.
Yeah, they're actually like, they're like people, I mean, I think.
Yeah, I think so. I think they're more like an average person. Like, I feel like dogs are the ones that have maybe like daddy issues who are just dying for affection, and then cats are just like, they're normal.
So, I only had one story for today, and maybe in the future we can write our own stories, Bill. I don't know. See what happens.
I can write. Yeah.
Or even or even better, we can ask people in the audience to send us their stories. Any strange
Ooh, that would be
accounts?
nice.
Yeah, so I would like to extend the invitation to anyone listening that if you want to send stories for us to read and comment about on our podcast, we can do that.
Or even like send us like a voice clip or something on our email.
That too.
If they can do that, or on one of our social thingies
Yeah.
and we can play it, that'd be cool.
Yeah, that too. We can definitely work something like that out. And okay, so now we're gonna move on a little bit from the story, and I want to touch up on something that we did. Normally we do this in the last part of the episode, but I'm gonna do it now because it has to do with cats also. So Bella and I consulted the other day, and we came up with a question for the Twitter sphere, the Twitter squad. And we asked, so, or rather, the post that where the question was, we'll be talking about Halloween kills for our next episode, which is this one here. So then, which of these opponents would you bet on to emerge victorious in a battle against Michael Myers? And the options we gave you guys were a mob of people, as we saw in the movie. That guy got a rather appropriate 5% of the vote, though. So
They shouldn't have gotten any.
maybe these people didn't see the movie, or they missed the joke altogether. because then your choice was a gaggle of geese. Am I saying that right?
Yes.
Okay. That did a little better. It got 34% of the vote. And then my choice, or the one that I suggested, was a pack of feral cats. And that was the undisputed winner at 61%. So how do you feel about that?
I think cats are like ninjas. Did you ever see that show, like what would happen if people ever disappeared from the world? And it's like cats end up reigning supreme.
Yeah, they would, I think.
Because I think he that would be a good opponent, but it would have to be at least five cats.
Yeah, several.
And I want a feisty tomcat there. And like a feisty new mama cat, because those are fucking crazy ones. Because I think they'd be able to take them down.
And I'm gonna read some of the comments too. That's why I was bringing this up, because we actually got a lot of comments for this question. So the Art House Drive-In Picture Show podcast said, "I'm gonna go with the cats because we have two cats and they're mostly cool. But if they ever go sideways, we're gonna move out and let them keep the house." So, yeah, they understand that. Like you said, I mean, cats are, I think, really resourceful, and they can climb trees and roofs.
Yeah.
So they can find sources of food, I think, a little better than dogs could, for that matter.
Wow, shots fired.
So then, fuck my work life commented, "Totally cats." Yes, I agree with you right there. And then somebody else quoted, oh yeah, Robbie Sherman, one of our friends here on Twitter. He's one of the people that we're in a group with. He's like, "Go feral cats." Yeah, and then somebody mentioned a Parliament of Owls, which I think would have been a good choice too, but I mean, we can only put so many
It would have
choices.
outsmarted
Yeah, we can only put so many that. And you know what? With owls, it could actually become the Chusas. So,
That's true.
I mean, unfortunately, I think we can only put up to three or four choices in our poll, so we can't include every clever choice out there. But, and then, Quick History Podcast replied, "Cats all the way. I had dealt with a mad kitten once, and it almost killed me." And then they elaborated on the story, saying that the cat almost made him trip down a hill or something like
Oh my God.
that.
That's bonkers.
But then they said the whole thing could have been a dream, so I don't know. Maybe they're just joking around, but hopefully you're okay there. And then the Horror Project podcast commented, "Someone that's been attacked by both geese and cats, they voted for geese."
I have been attacked by geese. It is not fun. I have a thing with having to touch anything I see out in the wild because for some odd fucking reason, I think they want to be touched. I've been chased by a turkey. I've been chased by a fucking raccoon. That one scared the shit out of me. I lunged into my brother-in-law's truck when that fucking raccoon ran out. I was like, "Look, it's so cute." And he's like, "Don't touch it, Belle." "But it's so cute." He's like, "Belle, don't touch it." And what does Belle go and do? Belle goes and gets closer to it. And it just like hisses at me and runs. And I'm like, "No." And of course, cats, like, man, they're just psychotic. Like, you try and pick one up to like show it some love, and it's just like, "No, I'm gonna scratch you up into a million pieces. Call me Freddy." But
Yeah, no, I know better than to try to touch animals that are possibly rabid in the wild.
yeah, apparently I don't.
Okay, so the Unintelligent Chat Show said they would back a pack of feral cats against almost any opponent. So yeah, that's a good choice there.
They can jump too, man.
Yeah. Oh yeah. No, they're vicious. They can be vicious, rather. True Crime Dumpster Fire said, "Perhaps a murder of crows." See, and that's yeah. I was like, we deeply regret not including that as a choice.
Oh, what if the crows summon Jeepers Creepers and then they have a battle?
There you go. That's
I
a
want
great idea
to
for a
see that.
crossover.
It should be like a celebrity death match, but for horror movies.
Having some great ideas here, Bill. No, I mean that. I'm not saying that sarcastically. Like, that sounds really fun, actually. And then I got a couple more comments from the audience here. Horrifying History said, "If it's a flock of Canada geese, Michael Myers is done for. Those Cobra chickens are the real hellhounds."
Cobra chicken. And eventually, I think after they fuck him up, they're like, sorry about that.
And actually, I took it upon myself to Google what these things look like, and they look nice. They look like really pretty animals. But then he's like, yeah, no, every Canadian would rather take a pack of feral cats than a fucking mama goose. Right, and one last comment here from the audience is that, yeah, Ship It Studios said, never forget the Haddonfield Mob blew the 3-1 lead they had. So.
That went over my head.
Because I mean, how can you vote for the mob when I mean they fucked up their, they.
Is that the name of the mob in the movie?
No, he's just calling it the Haddonfield Mob. Like,
Oh, okay.
yeah.
It's because I didn't get it. I was like, what?
Yeah, no, like the Haddonfield Mob, that's what they're calling it. So, and I said,
I had a
yeah.
silly moment. Sorry, guys. I was being a silly goose.
So I replied with that, yeah, that was one of the most dramatic comebacks in history. When Michael Myers got up and
Oh.
slayed half fucking town of Haddonfield. Yeah, so thank you guys for participating. It's always cool when we get replies, when we get votes. It's making us feel like you are liking what we're doing. It's motivating for us, or for me at least. I don't know about you, Bill.
Yeah, I like it. And it gives me a bunch of laughs, and I like to laugh. I don't know if y'all have noticed.
Yeah, so we're gonna keep doing polls like this for you guys, and we're gonna take time to read the results and your comments on here. So if you happen to participate, I shall tag you when we publish the episode and let you know that your comment was read and commented on. And yeah, hopefully not made fun of, because we're having fun. It's all in the good spirit of fun here. So anything else to add, Bill, before we move on to our closing remarks? All right, so let's take a little break here and come back in a couple minutes with our closing remarks. So stick around. All right, so we're back, and that was the episode on Halloween kills and scary stories. Thank you guys for listening in. We hope you are liking our content. We appreciate you taking time of your day to listen to us. And Bill, which movie are we doing next week, by the way?
Fresh.
Fresh. Chan chan chan. I've heard good things about that movie. I don't know what you might have heard.
I saw it and I like
Oh.
it.
Oh, okay. So then, no spoilers, please, because I want to
Yeah, I'll be quiet.
So I got some shout-outs before we leave. We got shout-outs to people that have been recommending our show on Twitter. Thank you, guys. I keep track of this, by the way. So, similar to the comments on the surveys, we're gonna be doing this, and we kind of did it in the past. We would do this in the past before, but we kind of stopped for a minute there, but it's making a comeback. So I want to give special shout out to Tattoo Squid, Mr. J, Malice After Midnight, and Munch My Benson Podcast. I have been very supportive. They always give us shout outs on Twitter. They always share our links, Bill. So, I mean, among other people, but these are the ones that specifically did it today. So thank you guys for that.
Thanks, guys.
How about you, Bill? Any shout-outs on your end?
No, not today. I can't think of any. My brain scattered.
Right, cool. So we want to remind you guys out there that we do have our social media, and the easiest way to find us is through Linktree. So linktree.com/myths behind LGDS. That link should be good to go on the podcast description on our Spotify and Anchor profiles. So you can just click on that, and you can find all the links to your YouTube, to TikTok, to Instagram, etc. And we want to remind you also that we are doing the short version of our recipes on TikTok, and the full versions will be uploaded to YouTube from now on, Bell. So, it's gonna be your turn for the next one, right? For this one, I would have made a drink, and I'm not gonna say what it is just yet, but.
Yes.
By the time that the podcast is out, that video should be out. So, well, I gotta mix something with with I don't know. I got a couple of ideas. Yeah, I
H2O.
got a couple of ideas. So it'll be either tequila or vodka, and it's gonna involve orange juice, and it's also gonna involve what else? I don't know. Well, I'll think of what, but something along those lines. So,
yeah, I gotta think of something clever for Fresh.
I'm wondering what you're gonna make for
well,
that.
Well, I can't say anything because what I'm gonna give any something away, so I'll be quiet.
Exactly. Yeah. So let's keep the the suspense for now. also we would like to encourage you, if you are liking our recipes, if you're trying them out, let us know, give us a comment. If you don't think they're that great, you can also let us know. Just be gentle, please, be kind.
Yeah, constructive criticism, please.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we put some effort thinking about these ideas. Bill and I go back and forth during the week and try to discuss ideas for the podcast, the recipes, the content, the Twitter posts, etc. So it's cool when you guys participate. And again, reminder, if you also have scary stories that you want to share, that you want us to read on the podcast and comment on, yeah, let us know. Get a hold of us. We can maybe work something out with you. So now keep in mind, though, we need to read the stories, and we can, you know, still say, maybe this is not right for us. But don't let that discourage you, because we do want to be able to read some of your tales out here. So... Mm-hmm. Anything else to add, Bill, before we sign off for the night?
No.
All right. So, once again, thank you, everyone, for listening. Stay away from Michael Myers. Stay away from suspicious people that are walking around neighborhoods, breaking into people's homes like nothing. So, have a great day, morning, evening, night, madrugada, whatever time zone you're in. And until we see you on the next one, have a good one.
Bye.